Bless your heart, man. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. God bless you. Once again, to stand before you is a very humbling experience and one that I never take for granted. That is for sure. The 16th President of the United States of America is Abraham Lincoln. And 2 years and 2 months into his first term, he had quite a thing that had occurred. Our nation was in a civil war. And on January 1st of 1863, he issued something that has really stood the test of time. And it's been a very important document down through time. I'd like to read a portion of that. It's called the Emancipation Proclamation. Some of you may be familiar with this. It says that on the first day of January in the year of our Lord, 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforward and forever free. In the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authority thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of such persons, and will do no act or acts to repress such persons or any of them in any efforts that they may make for their actual freedom. This was quite a historic thing that took place. Actually, this was a proclamation that in September of that year, by January, it was something that was going to be implemented. And he goes on to say later, and by virtue of the power and for the purpose aforesaid, I do order and declare that all persons held as slaves within said designated states and parts of states are and henceforward shall be free, and that the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authorities thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons. And I hereby enjoin upon the people so declared to be free to abstain from all violence, unless in necessary self-defense. And I recommend to them that in all cases, when allowed, they labor faithfully for reasonable wages. And I further declare and make known that such persons of suitable condition will be received into the armed service of the United States, to garrison forts, positions, stations, and other places, and to man vessels of all sorts in said service. And upon this act, sincerely believed to be an act of justice warranted by the Constitution upon military necessity, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind and the gracious favor of Almighty God. This was just a portion of the Emancipation Proclamation read by President Lincoln on January 1st, 1863. This particular document changed the history of our country. It forever, ever, ever changed the way that we look at one another. But one thing Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation did not do is that they didn't provide spiritual freedom. There was another individual who helped in the course of that to take place, and this morning what I'd like to share on is the subject entitled Freedom from Slavery. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8, verse 31 may be a familiar verse of Scripture to you. Goes on to say, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Maybe in another way, another type of emancipation proclamation. This is the Son of God declaring a truth about freedom that Lincoln could not refer to in that particular document. However famous and however wonderful our Constitution is, our Declaration of Independence, by the way, many of the people who were fleeing Europe and the abuses and the oversight of the king came here for spiritual freedom. They wanted to be able to choose who to worship and how to worship and where to worship. And they didn't have that right and privilege in that country where they came from. And actually, as history would have it, the king tried to control them here too. And we all know where that led. But you know, we've been made free through a knowledge of the Word. It has introduced us to a history, a spiritual history lesson of sorts that describes the fall of man and his reliance and independence apart from God. The resulting calamity put mankind in quite a situation, such that the nature of man changed from being a three-part man to a two-part man. All of a sudden, there was one part that got lost. The removal or departure of spirit from man caused man to be enslaved, caused man to be held captive, and caused man to be bound in his ability to communicate and to fellowship with the Creator. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Man originally was created with three parts. He had a body, he had soul, and then it says God created man in his own image, doesn't it? Well, we know that God is spirit. And so what God did is he created spirit in man, the original man. But yet, that spirit was placed in man upon a condition, wasn't it? Pretty simple condition. One that required obedience. But man, as we come to find out, chose not to be obedient, didn't he? And we read about some of this in Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he," meaning God, "who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, one of the greatest statements of all time, "You know what, God? I guarantee you it was not my fault. I was somehow persuaded to do this thing." And he said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and then I ate it." It was all candy-coated and everything by that time. It looked so pleasant, so beautiful, so lovely. And he just got led right into it. So God then turns his attention to the woman. And he said, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me. The serpent deceived me. And I did eat." So you know what? Our spiritual connectivity, our fellowship with God, and our innocency, the innocency in man was removed. Just like that. Man didn't die physically. He died spiritually, though, didn't he, that day? And all of a sudden, that threefold man, body, soul, and spirit, was now just body and soul. He had no intimate connection with God, who is spirit. And really, from that point forward, God had to come into concretion in the senses realm to be able to communicate with man. Moses is walking along, sees a burning bush. Whoa, that's kind of odd. It didn't burn out either. It just kept burning and burning and burning. I mean, it kind of got his attention, you know, and then, you know, the relationship developed. But there was something that replaced that innocency in man, that fellowship, that spiritual connection, that pureness of heart, not knowing the knowledge of really what sin and evil even were. Adam and Eve didn't consider that. They didn't even know what it was. But the old devil made it look so pretty, so lovely, that they got tricked into thinking that it was something beautiful. And they found out. But something else came into man's life at that point in time. It was called bondage. Called slavery. Called rebellion and disobedience. And that's the lifestyle that took ownership of mankind at that point in time. Stubborn, rebellious, disobedient slaves who really didn't know who their master was at that point in time. Let's see. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And it certainly does go beyond blaming anybody for our current condition or the condition that we have found ourselves in and mankind has found themselves in throughout history. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, I wasn't even born. But yet this word of God says here that I've sinned. Well, how could that possibly be? Well, many of us know in reading a Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is what? It's in the blood. It's passed down from generation to generation in the blood. It has nothing to do with an action someone is taking. It's a nature that's passed on from generation to generation because of Adam's disobedience when spirit was removed. We just get it by default. We get it because we're born. See? Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You see, mankind was now under the ownership and the rulership of the evil one, the devil, who used trickery and deception to acquire his authoritative position. You know what? And he's still using it. He's still trying to get people to believe that he really doesn't exist. See? That he can disguise himself as a child of light. Maybe kind of the same sort of techniques and things that he used on Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Somehow making evil look really good, acceptable. Getting them to compromise over a period of time. Oh, you know, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. And then eventually, they took the bait. He jumped right in there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Couple of great verses here. Verse 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Yeah. Really, the truth of God's word and the simplicity of what we're involved with and what we know and understand is very simple. The things of God are not complicated. They're not complex. They're not, I mean, they are deep, I guess would be a way of saying it, but they're in its most basic form, very simple. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He can make himself look pretty darn good. We were captives, prisoners, enslaved to an unknown, unseen, and tyrannical evil master. Unknown, unseen, and tyrannical. He used us. And he continues to work in those who are unaware of his nature, his power, and his influence. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. It's great to be on the other side. But the reality is, each and every one of us was on the other side of the fence at one point in time. You may not remember when that was. Some of us still do remember those days. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works, still works, in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all." You know, God's word doesn't use words haphazardly, does it? No, it says we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, the fulfillment of our lives in times past. Gosh, here we go. The lust of our flesh. Just basically fulfilling any whim, any desire, anything that happened, drug-induced, alcohol-induced, you name it, we lived it. And some of us don't even want to talk about those times, probably. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And here it is. "And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We had a whole brotherhood of man. We were all evil, and we all had the nature of wrath, and we served an unseen, unknown, and tyrannically evil master. However, the all-knowing, the all-loving God, the Creator, He had a plan in mind. To salvage the damage, to restore to mankind even more than what the original man gave away. And that plan was the birth, the life, the ministry, and sacrifice of another, born with uncorrupted blood. And His name, we know now, is Jesus Christ. God's plan from the beginning, the seed, took all that time. But then the life, the ministry, the sacrifice that was required. Look in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." She was pregnant, and they never had had sex. Now, how does that happen? Well, it had to be some kind of miraculous occurrence, wouldn't you think? And I know teenagers try to get away with all sorts of stories and explanations, but you know what? Before they came together, before they had sexual intercourse, she was pregnant. And not a good thing in that culture. Well, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to just put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of the Holy Spirit. God is involved in this, Joseph. That must have been a relief to his mind. Whoa. In verse 21, not only that, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. You know, 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of nature. The man basically lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He didn't really travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile and childhood to Egypt. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were basically inconspicuous and had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled the king. In childhood, he amazed Jewish leaders. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walking upon the billows as if pavement. And he hushed the sea to sleep. He healed multitudes without medicine and made no charge for a service. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the country could not hold the books that had been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished a theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never practiced psychiatry, and yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Names of great scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone, but the name of this man abounds more and more. Herod the Great could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. His name stands highest of the heavenly glory, acknowledged by angels, feared by devils. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as has that one solitary life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievable what this one man accomplished in his life. It was that life, that man, that sacrifice that enabled mankind to once again, and this time be yet forever, be reconnected to whom Jesus introduced to us as the Father. That mankind could be liberated from the tyranny of the evil one and reign in life as sons of the Almighty One. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Powerful words. And how it stirs our hearts to honor the one man that we have given our lives to as the Lord of our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are no longer party of the first part, second part, third part, or any other part. You have given up the lordship of your life to the master. So you know what? Don't fight it. Let it happen. It's a good thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. And you know what? I'm saying this but because I know what it's like to fight against it. I've done it. Just the nature of the old nature. Rebellious, stubborn, and wants independence from God. Romans Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Uh-oh. Free. Free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God than the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, what's these words? Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one, comma, Jesus Christ. But it goes on. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Who is that one? Adam, right? The offense of one, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification, or one act of righteousness of one. The free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. Much more. Grace is so much more powerful than anything that sin nature or the old nature or anything else could try to throw up in our face. See. Grace did much more abound. And we needed it to define favor. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. But why us? Why us? Why you? Why me? And to what end? Prisoners and slaves, once captivated by the lesser things of this natural world, what could be its purpose, its intention, its goal? What is the reason for this to have happened? There's got to be some kind of reason to it. It just didn't happen by luck, happenstance. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also maybe have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship Him and we're walking in darkness, you know what? We lie. And we aren't doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why? What is the purpose of being delivered from this captivity, this slavery, this bondage? See, its purpose, its intention. How about fellowship? Fellowship. Fellowship with Him, life with Him, communication and intimate personal contact with God Almighty, the Creator of this world in which we live. That one enslaved, captive, and bound, we are now free to serve. To give, to love, to heal, to exemplify the greatness of the Father and the freedom that He has given us in the liberating work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're free now. We're free men to choose. Before this point in time, we didn't even know we had a choice. You know? Am I going to go out to the bar tonight or not? Yeah, I'll go. You know? Am I have another beer tonight? Yeah, give me a beer and a shot. You know, let's just see how far we can take this thing. And then when you wake up the next day and you can't remember how you got there, you might want to think back about those decisions and choices that you made. Not say any of you have ever done that. Fellowship with Him. Intimate contact with Him. That now we're free to serve. Free to live our lives openly. There's no sin nature. There's no fear of the enemy, the evil one. We now see it for what it really is. See? And now we make the free choice to be committed. See? Before we didn't have a choice. We were committed and we didn't even know why. So we're liberated from that commitment and now we can make a free choice to be committed ourselves. Look at Acts chapter 1. Again, I've entitled this teaching, Freedom from Slavery. Freedom from bondage, freedom from corruption, freedom from rebellion, freedom from disobedience. Yuck. Not good things, not things we want. We see enough of that in our kids as we're raising them.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You see those attitudes, those things. You know, a lot of times it's just like looking in a mirror. Because that's the way we were. And sometimes we still are. But like the Word said, grace does much more abound. See. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the Holy Spirit. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what? Now we're free to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, guided and directed by the Father, bringing a gospel of power and a gospel of peace to those who are still held captive. Our prayer could be like that one Bob talked about, like the one to the Ephesians, that we might be strengthened and helped to genuinely to live freely for Him. See? There's no one twisting your arm behind your back every day of the week. See? You're in control. You're making choices that are affecting how you're living your life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive what? Power. Power. You shall receive power. Holy Spirit power. Strength. Energy. Inward dynamics. A little piece and portion of the nature of God Almighty. So that now we can serve. We've been set free from the old nature so we can serve and walk in the new life. I'd like to close here this morning this teaching on freedom from slavery with something I found, and possibly you can find it. It's called A Christian's Declaration of Independence. Maybe you've read it this before. If not, you can find it on our website, sandiegobiblicalstudies.com, and scroll down into one of the teaching segments, and it's right on there. So, but this is a Christian's Declaration of Independence. And it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one God to dissolve the spiritual bondage of his people by his Son, Jesus Christ, that they may assume among the powers of the earth a separate and superior station to which the will of God entitles them, a son of God, and to have a loving respect to God who dissolved their bondage and desires that they should walk in the light of his word. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all Christians are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable sonship rights, that among these are eternal life, spiritual liberty, and the hope of his return. That to secure these sonship rights, we put on the word in our minds, deriving our power from what God wrought in Christ. That whenever any form of the old man becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the Christian to abolish and bury it, and institute the new man, laying his foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as God would have for his sons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Therefore, we put on the whole armor of God and stand for our Heavenly Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to recognize and be aware of the true freedom that we have, Lord. That just in the same way that you've blessed our country and certainly enabled us with rights and privileges and choices that in some ways are unlike other countries around the world, and certainly there are areas, I'm sure, where it's illegal to go to fellowship, illegal maybe even to own a Bible. But we are just such a blessed people, Father, and that we never take for granted the blessings of liberty that we have. And for sure, we never take for granted the liberating work of Jesus Christ that has really set us free in our hearts to be the men and women that we have always desired to be, Father, and that we may stand a lifetime for you and for our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. And I pray in his name, amen. Amen. Amen.